Carolina fireworks. We'll take your breath away.
Hey, Saturday's coming fast, and we've got the talk to get you ready. This is College Football Talk on the Roar, where every day is game day.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Faxon and John continues right here on The Roar. It's the final hour of the program here on a Monday, and we have more breaking news in the NFL world as there have been additional details and layers added to this blockbuster trade between Miami and Pittsburgh. So we mentioned, it appeared originally it was going to be a one-for-one swap, because that's what Adam Schefter tweeted, between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Miami Dolphins for Minkah Fitzpatrick, Jalen Ramsey, one-for-one. There's a little bit more flavor to that now as well, as it appears Pittsburgh will be sending a late-round pick swap Miami's way to acquire the services of Jonnu Smith, who Arthur Smith just has a hyper-fixation for at this point of having him on his team regardless of where he is. But it's a one-year, $12 million deal for Jonnu, and they acquire Jalen Ramsey for Minkah Fitzpatrick and a late-round pick. John, your floor, man. I mean, there's more wrinkles, more flavor to this now. You get another player, and we've given you the break to kind of process what's happened in real time with Minkah on the outs and Ramsey coming in.
It's a fascinating trade, to say the least. One that I did not have on my bingo card this morning when I got out of bed. But the more I think about it, the more I like it for the Steelers. I like Jonnu Smith in a tight end room with Pat Freiermuth and Darnell Washington.
Yes.
That's three very good tight ends with an offensive coach and a play caller that likes to utilize tight ends, except for Kyle Pitts. You have a quarterback who, let's just face it, his best days are behind him. What really helps a quarterback in that stage of his career? Big catching targets. Okay, well, you just went and got a very large wide receiver in DK Metcalf, and now you have three very capable tight ends within this offense. I think you go, if by helping Aaron Rodgers out and getting another piece within this offense, someone you know is going to be a willing blocker within this scheme and is willing to do all the different things that are asked of a tight end within this scheme, I think it certainly helps. On the defensive side of the ball, I think this goes ahead and said that Jalen Ramsey is going to be playing safety.
Yeah, he has to.
Oh, absolutely. That it's with what you got out of Beanie Bishop last year, like you can afford to put him at safety because you feel good about your corners with Joey Porter Jr. and Darius Slay on the outside, and you start him opposite Elliott at safety. I like it. I get it. And look at the moves the Steelers have made this offseason. It's very uncharacteristic, one. So that has been shocking to try to process this. But two, we were kind of talking about it before we went to break. I think you were trying to capitalize on a 1 to 2 year window. And I think you were okay at the end of that window if certain pieces have to walk in order to make it work. I think Minkah Fitzpatrick was just one of those pieces. I think you got a little bit worse at the position if just a one-for-one player, especially because Ramsey's been predominantly a corner over the course of his career. But I think if he can figure out the safety position pretty quickly, I don't hate it for the Steelers' totality of the 53-man roster.
Yeah. And Texter gets in with something that, you know, it just came out of John's mouth, which I think a lot of people are kind of starting to realize. 572 says, we have to anticipate Ramsey will make the switch to safety, right? I'm working under that assumption
as of right now.
Like, I think you have to assume that.
It also makes sense because who has just returned to the NFL? Hunter Renfrow. We all know Minkah Fitzpatrick cannot cover Hunter Renfrow. We have a lot of title games and college football playoff games to show that. You go ahead and shed him now before the Panthers show up on your schedule. I get it.
Yeah. Wow. I got to take a deep breath. This is crazy. I was not expecting this level of breaking news this early in the morning, especially in the NFL. You know what? I got to be completely honest. I wasn't expecting breaking news in this sport. This is supposed to be NBA day, and the NFL is showing why it's the king, and it's always going to steal the spotlight.
Love. I didn't even think about that.
Like, this is
the NFL loves to flex how they can control the calendar at any day, 365 yep. days a year. Tonight is when NBA free agency gets started at 6 p.m.,
and they just stole the attention.
Yep.
They just stole all of the spotlights with a blockbuster player-for-player swap in the middle of, at the end of June.
Which is going to, hey, if everybody's healthy, this will make for a fascinating storyline game Monday, December 15th, when the Steelers host the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, wow. The Minka's return.
Oh, wait, middle of December in Pittsburgh? Miami's not going to win that game. It'll be too cold.
Yeah, it's going to be too cold. Tua's not going to do anything in that game. So, Texter gets in, and it's Will Vandervoort on the personal text line. Janu had an incredible year last year, almost 900 yards and 8 touchdowns. I think that that is the most underrated element of this deal. People are going to get enamored with the star power, and oh, man, Minka and Jalen Ramsey, that's cool. I'm going to give a little bit of a take here that might not be super popular. I think that the Jonnu Smith acquisition might have a chance to be more impactful than the Ramsey for Minka swap. And I say that because I don't know how much of a difference there is at this stage in their respective careers between Minka Fitzpatrick and Jalen Ramsey. If both of them are playing safety,
right.
I think I would favor Ramsey as the slightly better player, but I think they're both just really good.
The only pushback I would have to that is Jalen Ramsey has never been a safety.
We haven't seen that yet.
Minka has been doing it his entire life.
Yeah, we haven't seen that yet, so maybe that's not
super fair.
He
has the skill set to do it, especially now at this stage of his career, but he still has to go and do it.
I'm just, the ball skills on Ramsey are so good, man. Like,
oh, absolutely.
He should, emphasis on should, be able to make that transition seamlessly and not lose too much of his, you know, acumen as a football player. But acquiring Janu and stealing him for pennies on the dollar, and then on top of that, just a one-year contract so there's no long-term commitment, that just made your offense a lot better. And if your questions are, hey, our wide receiver two's not great in Woods, our slot guy's not great in Calvin Austin, well, you know what can cover for that? A good tight end like Janu Smith.
A whole lot of 12 personnel, that's yep. what it'll do.
Line up with Freiermuth, line up with and Janu blocks, too. He's a willing blocker. That's part of why Arthur Smith loves him so much.
And still, not to forget, 6'7", 280-pound Darnell Washington.
Yep, and you've got a guy like Hayward that gets burned, too, that you can throw into the mix. That's more of your block-centric guy for 12 personnel
Yeah, he's going to get cut. He's getting cut probably. In camp. You're not going to carry those four.
Man, Connor, I like Connor Hayward.
They have carried Cam Hayward's brother on this roster long enough.
Is this like the Giannis Antetokounmpo, like, brother clause?
Yes.
Is that
yes.
what this is, where they just chuck the nieces or whatever?
He actually contributes to the team, but yes.
I was almost crying.
He's not as inept at his sport as Giannis's little brother is.
Jeff Teague has a podcast that I've referenced pretty frequently on here, and he was teammates with Giannis and his brother, and he was talking about how Giannis's brother, like, legitimately just can't really play, but he has such a great impact on the locker room that, like, his impact is actually needed. And he was talking about that. But Giannis's brother's, like, highlight tape of failures is maybe one of the funniest things that I've ever seen in my life. We'll see what happens with Cam Hayward's little brother. All right, so final thing we'll say on this. Texter 420 says, I don't think my wife and mother of my two children love me as much as Arthur Smith loves Jonnu Smith. You are correct, brother. You are absolutely correct, brother. Oh, man. Arthur Smith's infatuation with Jonnu Smith will have to be studied. But, John, anything else to add before we shift gears to different elements of the sports world on your Steelers making a blockbuster? I think your outlook is much improved for next season as a result of this deal. You upgraded at one position for sure. Other position, it's waited to be seen how Ramsey makes that transition, but I feel like you got to be feeling pretty good right now if you're a Steelers fan.
Oh, yeah, and there are some reports out of Pittsburgh that they're going to attempt, when you get into camp, to try some different personnel groupings to see how you can utilize Ramsey as some nickel, some outside corner, and some safety as well. So I think they're going to try to see what they can do with it.
Yeah, I'm excited. This just made me more excited for the Steelers season, and I didn't think there was anything that could get me to say that. Texter gets in. A couple other texters are getting in. How does Porzingis elevate the Hawks in the East Facts in top four? We're going to get to some NBA 478 in the upcoming segment. And I love the Atlanta Hawks outlook for this year. So after we get Will Vandevort in here on some Steelers, we'll shift gears to NBA, some NBA free agency, and I'll get my thoughts on the Hawks. But I love what Atlanta's building right now. Let's get Willie V in here. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to check in. You guys know the Will Vandevort from the Clemson Insider, at Steeler Will on Twitter if you want to check him out. Willie V, brother, how we feeling? We riding high right now?
Yeah, I ain't talking nothing close, but I tell you that this is Steeler Will coming in all the way on this one. I love this move, man. This is the Steelers won this trade because getting Smith is just that's like the steal of this whole trade. You know, for them to sneak that in, and like everybody's talking Ramsey Fitzpatrick, but to sneak in the part that you get a tight end of that nature to add to what you already have with Freiermuth and what you now can do with a lot of 12 personnel. And you just made this offense very difficult to stop. It takes a lot of pressure off people saying, okay, we'll see if we can just move Aaron Rodgers around and come after him because he's older. You eliminate that right off the bat. And, you know, because now you got two big targets on offense, you know, with those tight ends. And then you got Metcalf outside. You know, Austin's got that speed where he can just go, you get to send go routes with him the whole time as well. So a lot of teams, if you go cover two, you got an answer for it. You know, if people want to blitz, you got an answer for it. So there's a lot of things they did today that helped that. And I think the getting Smith was even bigger than Ramsey to me because of what it does on the offensive side. And I think Ramsey he's definitely moving to safety. And I think, you know, I'm just going to remind people of this guy's name. The guy's name was Rod Woodson. Remember him? Started his career playing corner.
Yeah.
And was a highlight film similar to Deion Sanders. After he tore his ACL, with the Steelers that last year, he went on and moved to safety the rest of his career and actually had as many interceptions as he did at safety as he did as a corner. And made a smooth transition and became just as good. And so, like, Ramsey is, I'm not saying he's Rod Woodson, but he's pretty close. And I think he's got the talent to make that move and have an easy transition. And I think Pittsburgh wins in that because Mika Fitzpatrick has not been Mika Fitzpatrick the last couple of years. He's been banged up. He's only got one interception in the last two seasons. He doesn't make those splash plays that he's been making in years past. So I don't know if Mika's seen his better days are behind him. And I think Ramsey's, because he's making a move to another position, maybe extends his career a little bit longer than people think.
Yeah, I'm in full agreement with you, Will. I actually think this is a big win for the Steelers. And I see a lot of people just kind of dismissing this as, you know, Ramsey, Minka, it's kind of a wash and this doesn't really make a big impact. I think this makes a big impact. I think the Steelers just upgraded at two positions is the way that I view it. And obviously, we have to see how Ramsey makes that transition. Minka did not play particularly great football for his standard the last two seasons. Ramsey is a better player. He brings more of an attitude and a swagger, in my opinion, which I like. He holds people accountable and is an on-record great teammate, whether people want to acknowledge that or not. It's the truth. All of Jalen Ramsey's teammates, pretty much every step of his career, have said that he is just so locked in on winning and loves winning. I think he brings that swagger, that demeanor, that attitude that this defense is going to love because a lot of other players on that unit embody the same thing. And then on top of that, you essentially just stole a top 10 tight end in the league for nothing. That's going to be discounted by many as a part of this deal because the Arthur Smith, Jonnu Smith thing is more of a comedy point than anything, but people forget that this kid can play. Like, Jonnu Smith can play, and you just got him for pennies on the dollar, so I think the Steelers just added a win or two for free.
He just had his best season
yeah.
as a pro last year. 88 receptions, 884 yards, 8 touchdowns, average over 10 yards a catch. I mean, those are good numbers for a tight end. Those are elite numbers for a tight end.
Yeah.
And you're bringing him in, and you got a guy in Freiermuth who's basically almost the same kind of player on the other side. So now you've got two of those guys to go with the Donnell Washington, who's your big tight end that lines up and helps you block. So you can, you know, you could actually play three tight ends in some sets. And what are you going to do? How are you going to defend that? You know, and then you got Metcalf out there who's a giant of himself at wide receiver. You know, and by the way, a lot of people wondering about the offensive line. John, you can attest to this as much as I can. Pittsburgh's offensive line is better than people think. Last year, they were
healthy.
Injured and banged up a lot. If they're healthy, that's what I was about to say. If they're healthy, they got the guys in place to be really good on that offensive line and give Aaron Rodgers the protection he needs, and also to help that running game, which was early in the year. If you remember early in the season last year, Pittsburgh's running game was as good as anybody in the NFL. They just, as we mentioned, those injuries just kind of took over, and they couldn't overcome those injuries late in the season. So I like the name, and I tell you, I know some people are high on Cincinnati, but the Bengals have done nothing on the defensive side of the ball to make themselves better, and I'm not worried about them, and Cleveland has done nothing on the offensive side of the ball to make them better, so I ain't worried about them. I think it's a two-team race, and got to find some way to beat those ugly Ravens down there in Baltimore.
Yeah.
If we do that, we got a chance.
For certain. Hey, Willie V, we appreciate you chiming in as always. Congrats, brother. You know, have yourself a nice summer day here today. Get you a nice little lemonade, sit out on the porch maybe, and celebrate stealing a top 10 tight end for free. That's what I'd be doing.
That's what I'm going to do this and watch a little bit of Wimbledon. That's what my afternoon's going to be.
How about that? Have yourself a day, Willie V. Congrats on the trade. Appreciate you checking in.
All right, later, guys.
We have more breaking news in the sports world. And, John, this one is personal for me, and this one might be the biggest news of my lifetime and related to one specific topic. EA Sports has just put out a tweet. College basketball video games are back, folks. EA is bringing back college basketball video games. The @EA Sports account just tweeted, "Bring the madness, let's run it back, #CBB, #it's in the game. And in some research that I've been able to do very on the fly here in the last 3 minutes, the proposal also calls for the inclusion of women's basketball programs, which will be added into this game as well. And according to a memo obtained by Extra Points per Matt Brown on Twitter, the CLC put out an RFP to bring back college basketball video games, and they are recommending the bid produced by EA Sports. This thing is in motion, and it appears just a year after getting college football games back. I'm not sure if this would be for this next year. We don't have all the details yet.
It would be 2028.
It would be 2028 is what it's saying. College basketball video games could be back as well. And for me personally, I always loved the college football game, John. But you know basketball is the soft spot for me. I remember playing, I think it was NCAA Basketball 10 with Blake Griffin on the cover. Maybe that was 08. Playing with Clemson and Little John. And I was just having so much fun. So this would be freaking awesome if EA Sports can actually bring it back. So definitely had to give that little bit of breaking news there to the audience. We already have a lot of let's goes flooding in on the text line as well. So we'll take that into a break. We'll discuss a little more video game topics. We'll talk Chase Hunter's Exhibit 10 contract with the New Orleans Pelicans, what that means. Bunch of texters getting in on some NBA stuff and 478's asking me for my outlook on the Hawks. We'll unpack everything in the upcoming segment here with Faxon and John, with multiple tangents of breaking news in this time slot for once here today. Man, is it refreshing, John. Man, is it refreshing. Final hour of the program continues right after this.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day, and because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Combine a Bojangles Chicken Supreme with a toasted bun that's great on the go, and you get Bo's Bird Dog. Grab 2 for $5 for a limited time only. It's Bo time.
As an independent business owner, you're the expert in your field, but you may not have the time or resources to stay on top of tax forms and payments. Let David Green help you get back on track. With his expertise, he can implement the best IRS programs to resolve any tax issues you face. Whether it's with the IRS or South Carolina state taxes, call us today at 271-7940 or visit greenlaw.legal for a free consultation to discuss your situation.
Searching for your dream home? Great Southern Homes is here to make it happen. Whether it's your first house or your forever home, we offer an amazing selection of plans and communities to fit every lifestyle. With endless personalization options and upgrades, you can create a space that's designed to fit your unique taste. From Clemson to Columbia and beyond, we'll help you find the perfect place, whether it's right around the corner or across the state. Discover greatness reimagined and check out our Clemson communities at greatsouthernhomes.com.
If you are a realtor in the upstate of South Carolina, I want to help you close more deals. And here's how I can do that. I'm Mike. I'm the owner of One Tom Plumber, and we are already working with realtors in your area doing the same exact thing. We're the go-to plumbing crew for realtors all across the state of South Carolina because we provide a free same-day quote based on your home inspection report.
Just dial the number one, then Tom Plumber. That's their name. That's their number.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one. Tom Plumber. One Tom Plumber.
Jeff Carey here from Sit and Sleep Upstate Furniture Galleries in Easley. Don't put off your comfort any longer, because at Sit and Sleep Upstate, we are putting on a recliner bonanza with literally hundreds of recliners on blowout pricing. With faux leather rocker recliners starting at $449, big man recliners for just $699, and powered leather recliners for only $849, you do not want to miss this. Only at Sit and Sleep Upstate Furniture Galleries, Highway 123 in Easley.
Introducing the new Dell AI PC, powered by the Intel Core Ultra Processor. It helps do your busy work for you, so you can fast forward through editing images, designing presentations, generating code, debugging code, summarizing meeting notes, finding files, managing your schedule, responding to Jim's long emails, leaving all the time in the world for the things you actually want to do. No offense, Jim. Get a new Dell AI PC starting at $699.99 at dell.com/AI-PC. How those ahead stay ahead.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The Upstate's home for Atlanta Braves baseball. We are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Welcome you back in, everybody. Monday edition of Facts on Sports with Faxon and John continues right here on The Roar. Boy, are we having ourselves a Monday. I hope you are as well. Blockbuster trades, breaking news, and more on the program today in 654-ROAR if you want to chime in on any of it. Just to update you on what's happened in the last 30 minutes. The Pittsburgh Steelers have traded Minkah Fitzpatrick and a fifth-round pick to the Miami Dolphins for Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith. And EA Sports has announced the return of a college basketball game in 2028, it appears, is the tentative timeline for that proposal. Oh my goodness, I am so excited for the college basketball game to be back. I can hardly contain my excitement. And a lot of people have bred the conversation now, John, on the text line, which is, okay, one step away, we need the baseball game back. That's the number one text I'm seeing on the text line right now. Right outside of let's go, I'm excited, is we need the baseball game back next. I'm not sure if that's ever going to happen, but I really hope it does. I can guarantee you that. I
would love to see it. It'd be interesting to see if they ever decide to do it, because it's, you know, basketball just produces more revenue,
right?
If they would decide to dive into that, but I would love to see it if they did. Now, reminder, they're setting a release of 2028, so you're going to have to be a little bit patient for this.
We're gonna wait.
We have to wait a little bit, but exciting news nonetheless. Those games were fun when I was a kid, and look forward to hopefully them coming back on the next few years.
Yeah, definitely excited. Excited to see how Little John looks in the game. Excited to nerd out over all the details, and excited to just actually play that game physically in my hands again, and bring back all of the nostalgia from back in the day playing. I think I played college basketball I think it was 08 and 2010 were the two that I played the most back in my day, growing up. So excited for that to be back into the mix. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to check in. We haven't talked NBA at all today, and we got to talk a little bit about NBA before we get out of here, because it is the...
You were setting a primer as to what you thought was going to occur. One of the big things I'm trying to understand, and the difference between the NFL and the NBA free agency, is it similar like in the NFL where it's like we basically allow the tampering window to take place and then deals can become official? Or can things become official as early as tonight at 6 p.m.?
things can become official as early as tonight at 6 p.m., but like it's similar to the NFL with the way that things are framed. Like this morning, for example, Ziaire Williams intends to sign a 2-year, $12 million contract with the Brooklyn Nets to return to the Nets. Like, you get the language and the lingo like that, where it's like he intends to sign or he plans to sign. You know, when Shams is tweeting a draft spoiler and he's like, they've got a laser on this guy or they're focused on this guy. So it's not officially confirming it, but it's breaking the news and indicating what's to come. That's essentially the same thing with the framing and the lingo. As far as what I anticipate to happen today specifically, I'm not really sure. Right now, unfortunately for a lot of NBA fans, LeBron holds a lot of the cards because LeBron gave some interesting messaging yesterday. And I think there's a chance LeBron gets traded in the coming months.
Really?
I would say chance. I'm not going to say it's a guarantee. I'm not going to say it's likely. I think this is the closest we've ever gotten to LeBron James being traded from one NBA team to another is right now in this current moment.
Because I've just as someone who is not that plugged in with the inner workings of the NBA, I find it odd that if you're opting into a 52-point-something 1-year deal, like how many teams can pick that up?
Yes, that is a big question. And I also, I'm not trying to rip LeBron by saying this, and I also hope you guys realize this, but I think LeBron is being pretty selfish by opting into that player option from like a Lakers standpoint and a where you end up standpoint. Like, I understand I'm not going to ever criticize somebody for making $53 million. Go get your bag, bro. LeBron is already a billionaire. That feels worth acknowledging. Go get your bag. We've seen Tom Brady. We've seen a lot of the greats of the game take pay cuts at this stage in their career to try and, like, put a better infrastructure around them and put a better roster around them. You remember Tom took a pay cut in Tampa Bay?
Sure, yes, absolutely.
So I was kind of anticipating that LeBron would do that at some point because he's been on the max his whole life at this point outside of his rookie deal. But that doesn't appear like it's going to happen. So now the question is, like, who can realistically trade for LeBron from a cap and a salary standpoint and making everything match?
And doesn't he have a no-trade clause?
Yes, that's another element to this, is he has a no-trade clause, so he would have to approve the final destination if LeBron James hypothetically were to be traded. And there are two names that I keep wrapping back to that I think make the most sense by far, Dallas and Golden State. Those are really the only two realistic places where I could see LeBron landing, where the salary matches, it gives him a chance to win and a better chance to win in the immediate future, and he has friends and relationships on the current staff and team.
That's what I was going to ask. What is a... Dallas is the one that I want to start with first.
Yes.
Because I have a whole list of beef if he goes to Golden State. We can get to that in a moment. Do you have to send Anthony Davis back?
You don't, no. You don't. That they would likely try and frame a package around... Let me look at Dallas' roster real quick.
Because if you're getting another trade between the Lakers and the Mavericks here...
And they get LeBron, too.
Well, what I mean, like, or is it, are you going to send, does Cooper Flagg have to be a part of this conversation? Like, I'm fascinated by what the trade package would look like. Which of LeBron's friends would you have to trade? And I'll be honest, and I know that this, a lot of years have passed since the Warriors' heyday. I understand that there's a little bit of, in the NBA, everybody moves around. Like, nobody's loyal to one franchise.
Right.
That would give me the dirtiest taste in my mouth in terms of both his and Steph Curry's legacy if they paired up at this stage of their careers. It would just be like, ah, come on, man, really? I mean, it would just for me personally.
I get it.
Like, there's been so many years of, I wouldn't go and join that, and that's just too much to then finally... It would be so weird to see him in a Warriors uniform.
It would also make LeBron look like a coward for ever complaining about the Kevin Durant Golden State.
Yeah,
thing.
Like, just of all that we've dealt with over the last 20 years of his professional basketball career would leave just a bad taste in my mouth.
Now,
if he finished his run with the Golden State Warriors, of all the franchises, like, that would just...
So
it would not sit well with me.
Let me sell you on the storybook ending, since we've established the villain ending, and there's a third team that I excluded from this conversation, which is where I think he might actually end up, and I excluded it intentionally. those would be the villain endings, right? Those would be the, man, he's going to play with Kyrie and AD again, and he gets Clay and Gafford and Lively and all these guys and Cooper Flagg, or man, he's going to team up with Steph Curry and play for Golden State after they committed or they competed against each other in all these championships. But for me personally, I think the obvious answer is slapping everybody in the face. Why on earth would LeBron James not just go back to Cleveland? The East is wide open. You made your living in the East for the better part of a decade. You ran the East. You've always talked about going back home to Cleveland for 1 year to end your career. That's been a big part of the thing with LeBron. He's from Cleveland. You have a roster that's good enough to win a championship right now without LeBron. You're telling me that if the Lakers were offered Darius Garland, a 25-year-old point guard under a max contract that can be a focal point and play adjacent to Luka in the backcourt, and you throw in a guy, maybe, let's say a younger guy off the bench or a Jarrett Allen type of guy that's on a good contract as well that can help you win? Because guess what? The Lakers' number one need is a center, okay? LeBron and Luka's number one need is a lob threat. If you trade a package of Darius Garland and Jarrett Allen and you go get LeBron James and you line up with LeBron James, Donovan Mitchell, and Evan Mobley next year, there is no way you lose the East bar injury. There isn't. And LeBron, at that point, another element of this too as well, John, LeBron doesn't have a ton of value right now because he's 40, he's carrying a big dollar, and he's expiring. So at that point, if LeBron wanted to go hop somewhere else or if he wanted to extend, he could do either of those things. I think the Cleveland Cavaliers should be picking up the phone and calling for the services of LeBron James once again, and I think the storybook ending here makes more sense outside of just a storybook. I think there's logical reasons to believe that LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers could mutually benefit from a move. Your thoughts?
Oh, boy. I'd rather see him end up there than the other two destinations. Because that just looks like taking the easy way out if you go to the other two spots.
Yes.
Even though the easiest path would be going to Cleveland. It's just not pairing up with faces that we've known in the sport for the last decade.
Yeah.
I just don't see it happening. I think he rides it out in LA.
Yeah.
As the face, as the father-son pairing there with that team. I just don't see it. I think it would be probably better for the league because then you can really fast track the next version of the Los Angeles Lakers with Luka Doncic as the centerpiece of it.
But I
also don't want to see him end up back in Dallas so that Nico Harrison gets a lifetime contract extension for being the one GM who was able to pull off a trade for LeBron James. I can't have that.
I don't say this often because I try and stay objective. I freaking hate the Los Angeles Lakers with every fiber in my soul. Like, that's on a top three for me of hated franchises. Just get LeBron out of there so I don't have to worry about the Lakers anymore because their fans are unbelievably obnoxious. That's my facts and off, like, a personal takeaway from this. Just, can the Lakers just go away, man? Seriously, can the Lakers just go away? I'm sick of the Lakers.
No, they're not.
I'm sick of the
Lakers.
They're
not going to, though. It's the Lakers.
I'm sick of hearing about them. I despise the Lakers. And for what it's worth, I don't think LeBron is worth $54 million with the current stage of what he is as a player. But I do think if you are in the Eastern Conference specifically, you have massive incentive to trade assets for LeBron James with how wide open it is, with how he dominated that conference for a decade, and with the Pacers not anticipated to be in the fray, with the Celtics not anticipated to be in the fray, with the Bucks not anticipated to be in the fray, with the Dame Achilles injury, and with Giannis potentially making a move, I would be trying to get to the East if I were LeBron James, and I would be looking to go back to Cleveland. Now, John, I do want to transition this to a different topic on the NBA free agency front, because this is a team I've been waiting to talk about for a while, and 478 on the phone lines, or a text line rather, gives me the perfect excuse. I have been waiting to talk about the Atlanta Hawks and what they've done this offseason because I love it. I've been very critical of the Hawks as somebody that grew up in Atlanta, went to a ton of games and playoff games, but I was never a Hawks fan. I've always liked the Hawks. I've always had a little bit of a soft spot for the Hawks. Not a Hawks fan, and I've been critical because they've set Trey up for failure the last 5 years. And I felt like Trey's a really good player. He proved and showcased that he was capable of being a number one on a team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals. They duked it out with Milwaukee. He got hurt. Giannis got hurt. Bucks won the finals. It is what it is. But ever since then, the Hawks have not done a good job of surrounding Trae Young with supporting cast pieces, and for the first time in ages, after moving on from Landry Fields as GM, bringing in Saleh as their new GM, who I love and think has done a phenomenal job, the Hawks have a little bit of a pulse and a heartbeat, John. And you go out and you get a guy like Kristaps Porzingis, which really just inherently is going to increase what your floor and your ceiling is as a team. You now have a projected starting five of Trae Young, Dyson Daniels, Richichet. Sorry if the pronunciation there is bad. French dude, that's a rookie, 6'10 wing guy, good player, showcased some signs of life last year. Porzingis at the five and Jalen Johnson at the four, who I've loved for years and talked about as a top 25 player in the league because that's what I think he's going to be this year. The Hawks have an infrastructure of a team that should be a top four seed in the East, but here's the kicker. They still have a $25 million trade exception that's accessible for them to use at any given moment, which means two of the top free agents on the market right now, Ty Jerome, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, they could explore a sign-and-trade type of avenue with those two guys to potentially get their services and manipulate the cap with that exception. And they also have the MLE in the back pocket as well as a part of that. So where are you at on Atlanta headed into this upcoming season after a couple texters got in on the Hawks? Because I am buying all the stock I can possibly buy that this is going to be a top five seed in the East at minimum. And again, part of this is due to the weakness overall of the league and the exclusion of a team like the Celtics and the Pacers from those top four to top five conversations.
I agree with you about probably the top four, five in the East. When was the last time Kristaps Porzingis played a full season?
Ooh, I'm gonna have to check on that.
Exactly. That is my pause. That is my hold.
Yeah, and he has this mystery illness that nobody can figure out as well, which has to be acknowledged. You're right.
And you know, for there, it's always someone else's reason as to why Trae Young can't win more games. I like the moves on paper. I have a lot of reservation until I see it actually applied.
Yes. You have to keep Porzingis on the floor or at least get him to the playoffs holding on to life at that point so he can play.
He has to be a functioning basketball player in months, not November and December.
I've got the last 6 years of Porzingis for you. You ready? 43, 51, 65, 57, 42 games played in the last 6 years for Porzingis. That's not good enough. And 22, 23, play 65 games. If you can get me 60 games of Kristaps, I'm taking it for the hills and I'm running. Man, I'm running. If you can get me 60 games of regular season Kristaps and he's healthy or at least intact headed to the playoffs, the Hawks are going to be really darn good. If we get mystery illness and ailment Kristaps that can't get to the playoffs and play quality basketball, the Hawks are going to have their ceiling hindered as to what they can become. But regardless, with the infrastructure for Atlanta, with the moves that the front office has made over the course of the offseason and continues to make, I feel really confident that this is going to be a good team at minimum next year. And I'm really encouraged at the direction and the stunning signs of competence from this front office with the GM change, which I think was a great move from ownership. But you got to keep Porzingis on the floor, and you got to use this exception to your advantage by acquiring the services of one of Nickeil Alexander-Walker or Ty Jerome. Those are the two guys that I'm targeting for Atlanta, with the exception. You need to go get one of them. And Texter gets in and says, is Nickeil Alexander-Walker an upgrade over Caris LeVert, in your opinion, if it happens? I think they're different players. Caris is a little bit more of a self-creator. Nickeil Alexander-Walker is a little bit more of a connector. I think you have to look at the rest of your bench and what you are anticipating to have on the rest of your bench. If you have another creator off your bench, go with Nickeil Alexander-Walker. If you need a creator off your bench, go with Caris. They're different players. They have different roles. If I had to take one, I would probably take Nickeil Alexander-Walker because he's got great length and defensive upside, and he's improved as a catch-and-shoot three-point threat. So that's my thoughts on the Atlanta Hawks. We'll go around the horn with a bevy of topics in the final segment of the program with Faxon and John here on a Monday. A lot going on in the sports world. Don't miss it.
Sitting here again today with our good friend Gary Mahaffey of Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. Gary, listener asked, Walt, I have a small business and wonder if Gary would like to work with our employees who are reaching retirement age, and if so, at what charge?
Great and timely question, listener. We have just launched a new service this year doing exactly what you've asked. We will work with small to medium-sized companies who have people retiring and need our Medicare services. In addition to teaching them the Medicare ropes and how to access Medicare, I will call on my old HR background to support what the employer is doing through their retiree benefits package as well. And again, my charge, as always, is zero.
There you have it, listener. Give Gary a call today at 864-307-8484. Again, 864-307-8484. And as always, you will thank me later.
Are you looking to take your lawn to the next level in 2025? At Carolina Top Dressing, we are committed to serving the upstate and bringing golf course type practices to your home, including aeration, top dressing, dethatching, and soil conditioning. Also, ask us about our latest top dressing amendment, Carolina Mix, or sign up for any of our turf services by visiting us at carolinatopdressing.com for your free quote. And as always, go Tigers!
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantycanfixit.com.
I'm Ryan Beasley. My office works with clients in all areas of state and federal criminal defense to include pre-arrest investigations, white-collar defense, as well as student conduct issues at colleges and universities. Our team works in courts across the state to include city court, magistrate court, state court, and federal court. Our responsive and proactive approach in all cases is relationship-driven, client-centric, and resolution-focused. We look forward to the opportunity to work with you. Please give us a call at 864-679-7777 or find us on the web at www.ryanbeasleylaw.com.
It's boating season, and Eclipse Marine Seneca and Clemson Marina can help you find the boat of your dreams before July 4th. Shop top brands including Veranda, Crestliner, Lund, Bayliner, Pinecraft, and more at Eclipse Marine Seneca and Clemson Marina. Whether you're looking to buy or rent a boat or service your boat by certified Yamaha technicians, Clemson Marina can get you on the water. Don't let the summer pass you by. Visit Eclipse Marina Seneca or Clemson Marina to explore new and pre-owned boats, take out a rental, or service your boat with certified Yamaha technicians.
This is Walt Deptula inviting you to join me each and every afternoon from 3 to 7 for Road Rage, America's most informative and entertaining sports talk show, where we cover it all: baseball, basketball, football, hockey, boxing, UFC, bowling, the National Cat Fight League. We don't care what it is, from 3 to 7, we cover it. Join me each and every afternoon. Do not miss an episode of Road Rage.
The Roar, your home for this summer's hottest college football talk, as we get you ready for the upcoming season.
All the jams for the summer. My summer hit station.
105.5 and 97.5 FM. We are The Roar, where every day is game day. Kick it!
We welcome you back in, everybody. It's the final segment with Faxon and John here on a Monday. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to check in. Going around the horn in the final segment, but first, we're going to get Jason and Columbia in here on the phone lines. Jason, always a pleasure. Good to hear from you, brother. How we doing?
Hey, man, dude, this has been an awesome show, man. I really love the football talk mixed in with the NBA. It is hopefully going to be an exciting time in the postseason here for NBA. You know, hey, from a Wolves perspective, I'm pretty happy with the ability to you see the Cat trade come to fruition. You know, if the Wolves had kept Cat, he would have had as much salary by himself as Julius Randle and Naz Reid combined. So that was part of the having to avoid the second apron. And with the second apron, it's not just a money thing; it's a punitive way that you are restricted from building out your roster.
Yes.
So with trade mechanisms and all that. So really happy to see that. I still think Tim Donnelly's got Connelly's got another move up his sleeve. I would love to still see. I mean, obviously, right now it appears they feel very good about Rob Dillingham next season, taking more of the reins at the point guard position. But I would like to see more ball handling. That's the only other thing I'd like to see added. You know, we don't want to see Ant having to bring the ball up past half court. I actually heard one of Michael Jordan's old teammates talking about how he said if he was Chris Finch, he'd call up Big Chief Triangle in Montana and ask Phil Jackson, because he said what really made the difference for Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant was when Phil Jackson put them in a position where they were no longer handling the ball 25 feet from the rim with 8 seconds left. They were getting it in the lane at the free throw line with 8 seconds left, and they were able to make one or two moves and get to the rim. And I think that will certainly help Anthony's evolution. Hey, can I get in real quick just on this LeBron thing before I hang up? You know, I just find it so comical with this guy, you know, and we can give all the qualifiers. He's one of the greatest players of all time. We know that. But it just never fails. A couple of weeks ago, this guy is on his own clown show podcast talking about how he doesn't understand why people are so hung up on rings and ring culture. You know, conveniently forgets that he's the one that started the super team era because he wanted a ring so badly. And, you know, every step of the way, he has manipulated his roster. And if you're good enough of a player to get that kind of clout, go for it. But every step of his career, once he left Cleveland the first time, he has manipulated the roster, manipulated the GMs, gotten what he wanted. And it's just hilarious that, like, 1 week or a week and a half later, here he is floating out the smoke signals. Oh, you know what? Not only am I going to opt in for my $50 million, which is ludicrous for a 40-year-old. I know he was second-team All-NBA, but we saw what happened in the first round of the playoff, dude. He doesn't have the gas. He's 40, okay? You can't have a 40-year-old taking up $50 million of your salary cap in today's NBA. And now all of a sudden it's, well, Rich Paul says maybe he needs to move to a contender again, because what is he doing? Oh, that's right, he's chasing rings.
Yep.
And I just think that's hilarious. But that's classic LeBron, that the passive-aggressive, I don't know why people make such a big deal out of ring culture, and then not 2 weeks later, he starts floating the manipulating the press with the statements. Maybe I'm looking at getting out of this situation in L.A. because I want to compete for a ring now. So I don't blame an athlete for competing for a ring. That's what it's all about. But it's just constantly the double talk from LeBron. There's never been a superstar, maybe Aaron Rodgers, who has manipulated the media in such a passive-aggressive manner, and the rest of us are just kind of like, just go away at some point. You know, just go away, which is sad to say when you're still that good of a player.
Well, but don't worry, Jason. Aaron Rodgers will go away hoisting Lombardi trophy after he has Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith on his squad.
Hey, Steelers are making moves, man. I first heard that, and then, you know, then it was funny. It was a roller coaster ride, because in fact, it's like, wait a minute, they're getting rid of Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
But wait a minute, they're getting Smith back. So
yeah.
It was, hey, man, Steelers, I give them credit for being aggressive, man. They as a fan, that's all you want from your team. Get out there and try and make some moves. So you definitely can't fault them for they're definitely not sitting back and letting it come to them. I like the aggression.
For sure. Hey, Jason, we appreciate you checking in. Call back in later this week. I'm sure we'll have much to discuss, especially after everything gets official today and Alexander Walker finds a partner and Ty Jerome's got to land somewhere. A lot to discuss, so look forward to hearing from you later in the week.
Yeah, sounds good, fellas. Have a good one.
Appreciate you, Jason.
Real quick, before we go on, because I'm going to give you the floor here with the last 7 minutes of this program, just to put a bow on the trade. There have been two defensive backs that have been named first-team All-Pro three times since 2017.
Ooh.
Jalen Ramsey and Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I mean, that's the definition of a blockbuster. Two stars being exchanged in a deal, and then obviously you get the icing on top as well with the Jonnu Smith inclusion, who had a really good year last year. So I like it for Pittsburgh. Before we talk Acuna Braves, because I know I want to get to that after Mickey did about 40 minutes of that this morning. I was listening on the way in, and he had some good stuff. I want to do the LeBron thing for 1 second and 1 second only. And I will say this. I am from the younger generation. A lot of my takes often reflect that I'm from the younger generation. I think that's part of what makes this great is I don't always agree with y'all, right? And a lot of people have different perspectives. You guys have seen, a lot of you guys have seen more than I have. You have a different generational type of pull with things. I find as the older I get, the more I am starting to lean into maybe not the hatred of LeBron, but just kind of the annoyance with the overall situation. And I'll give the preface and the precursors of minimum top three player of all time. That should go without saying. And he's an all-time great. But at some point, the team hopping becomes a bit obnoxious from a player that possesses that status of an all-time great. And I understand that I root for the franchise and the player. But for me, that makes me appreciate your Steph Curry that much more. That makes me appreciate your Dirk Nowitzki with the Dallas Mavericks that much more. That makes me appreciate your guys that are lifers in this league that much more, because it doesn't happen anymore, John. You don't get lifers. You get Kevin Durant's going to be on his seventh team of his career this year. And LeBron's played for three different franchises now, and it could potentially be a fourth. It makes you appreciate your Currys, your Dirks. And I would even throw, I know he played two for the Wizards at the end, but even your Michael Jordans that much more. For guys that really stick it through the ups and downs with their franchise, you know, regardless of what the roster may look like and the outlook may look like on certain years. And you know what? A large part of me respects, even though I don't know if it's the best decision for his individual career, and it's been casualized with the way that the game has trended, it makes me respect Giannis a lot for not asking out. Giannis could have easily demanded his way out a month ago. And you know what?
He still can.
He still can, and he may still get moved. But every sign would indicate that he wants to stay in Milwaukee, not just for this year, but potentially for life. And again, not giving some one way or the other way take. I'm just saying I appreciate the Stephs, the Dirks, the Jordans, the Giannises that much more when we see the moving and the helter-skelter of the stars in this league.
Real quick, though, yeah, Duke Travis gets in, agree with him wholeheartedly. Jordan wasn't ring-chasing in Washington.
Exactly.
If anything, it felt like he was doing community service.
Exactly, and he was still putting up like 25 points a game at 40 on that trash team, so I agree with you. And that's why I would include Jordan as one of those lifers, because he's got six, right? And he's got six with the same team. Curry's got four with the same team. There's something to be said about the guys that are lifers, and I'll always have a great appreciation for my guys that stick it out and stay loyal through the tough times.
All right, you got 5 minutes left of the program, and I know you, because there are no Braves on tonight, give us your thought on what's going on with the Atlanta Braves right now.
So, I was listening to Mickey Plyler on the way in, and Mickey, obviously you guys know Mickey, he was doing a great job, and he was kind of walking out. I will say this. It was an Acuna-driven conversation that ended up sparking a larger conversation about the discourse of Major League Baseball in totality, and the topic is hustle. So you guys can just get in at 654 Roar. If you want to jab Acuna, just go ahead and get it out of the way early so I don't have to yell at you too much. So let me preface my statements by saying this on the hustle and the Acuna thing, because Acuna walked out a couple ground balls this weekend. I watch all of Major League Baseball. And when I tell you, I mean, I watch all of Major League Baseball. I get off the air at, you know, 12 every day, right? Usually try and get a workout in, do some show prep, do whatever, you know, got to get organized, whatever it may be. But more times than not, I'm working on my laptop and I've got an MLB game on in the background because it's always on. It's my favorite thing about the sport is that it's always on, especially during the summer. You get a day game, you get a getaway game. Like, there's always something on in Major League Baseball. So I get a very broad view, and if you guys on the text line are in the same boat that I am, where you watch a lot of the league, you get a very broad view on things, right? With, you know, who some of the best players in the leagues are, who are the best teams in the league. Let me just get this straight as somebody that watches a ridiculous amount of Major League Baseball. The hustle thing with Acuna is not just Acuna. And I'm not going to get behind the microphone saying, hey, well, if your buddy told you to go do this, are you saying it's acceptable? No, I'm not saying this. Locally, we hyperfixate on the Braves player that has the majority of the hustle issues. And you know what? He's my favorite player. That is Acuna. Acuna loafs it sometimes. It pisses me off just as much as it pisses the next guy off. But when I tell you wholeheartedly, this is a massive problem with Major League Baseball. This is not just a Ronald Acuna Jr. or a Braves problem. This is a Major League Baseball problem. And I mean this for Juan Soto. I mean this for O'Neill Cruz. I mean this for pretty much every star player or fringe star player throughout the course of Major League Baseball. And heck, sometimes it's not even star players. It's your guys like Jared Kelnick that are loafing it. Major League Baseball has a hustle problem. So that's, I listened to Mickey, his whole 40 minutes on the way in. I heard all of them ripping Acuña, and I get it. I'm not defending Acuña's lack of hustle at times, but I just want to make sure that we set the narrative straight, because I'm a firm believer that this is more of an issue on every team in baseball than a one-player, one-team issue, which is often what we make it about locally as the affiliate with the Braves, with the majority of our audience listening to Braves fans. And John, I did want to get your perspective on this, because your manager just benched your star player for hustle-related issues.
The way O'Neill Cruz was demonstrating a lack of care a few days ago. Now, reminder, this was before we had the historic sweep and putting up 30 runs on the New York Mets over the weekend.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You know, with just, you know, doing something in baseball that hasn't been done since 1901. But, no, yeah, it's a problem. It needs to be addressed when it happens. But it is something that has certainly made its way within the sport.
Agreed. And my problem with this specifically, and
it'll... But O'Neill Cruz can moonwalk to first base for all I care if we're going to beat the Mets this badly on a regular basis.
Right.
If the Pittsburgh Pirates decide to just want dismantling, you know, top flight teams, I don't care if he does cartwheels around the base path. I could care less at a snail's pace if you keep winning games like this.
Right. Yeah, but that's my overall takeaway, man. Listen, Acuña loafing it pisses me off as well. Olsen didn't run out of ground ball this last weekend. Another one of my favorite players, and he could have potentially beat it out if he would have ran it out. This is a culture baseball problem in Major League Baseball in 2025, and I just want to make sure we get that straight, that this is happening to teams all across the league. This is not just an Acuña or a Braves thing. I just want to make sure we set the record straight on that. And then my final takeaway on the hustle and baseball thing will be, what is your excuse to not hustle on a field that you are standing or sitting still 95% of the time that you're at the ballpark? What is your excuse? Seriously. This can be applied to Acuña as much as it is everybody else.
You're not warmed up because you're standing there all the time?
I mean, seriously, you get the ball hit at you four times a game and you're loafing it one of those four times, or you hit the ball four times a game and you're loafing it? Run!
Well, it's just like a defensive lineman taking a play off, or a guy in basketball not trying to get down the court to go play defense. It's just... need to hustle more. Sports, come on, man. You're being paid a lot of money.
Right.
Run.
I'm very grateful. I had very non-toxic sports parents who were, like, very uplifting and supportive. I got yelled at probably four or five times ever in my life. You want to guess what it was for? Not hustling. That is the only time I was ever, you know, scolded in the sports world by either of my parents was for not hustling, because it's the one thing you can control. So, might have not been the take that you guys expected me to have on the Acuña stuff, but I agree. He needs to hustle, as does every player in Major League Baseball, and I think it's much more of a widespread issue than many realize when you just watch one team like the Braves. So, that's my overall takeaway on that. Hey, really fun show today. Great job, John. A ton that went on, and much more to talk about tomorrow at 9 o'clock. William Quackenbush and Ben Milstead are up next with Out of Bounds. Don't move your radio dial, folks, and we'll see you tomorrow at 9 a.m.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT.